And then state your name and residence.
Would you do roll call?
We'll do roll call.
Randy Gilbert.
Joe.
Gary.
Tony.
Marv.
And now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to consider the agenda. Does anybody have anything that we added to the agenda?
It's just the red under new business, please. That's all I have.
The what?
The red under the critical business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that's that has been added since the...
We need to do a motion.
Oh, we need
please.
A motion.
Yes.
I make a motion that we have Bob Stanzer speak on the emergency powers.
I'll second
him.
Okay. Take the vote.
Right.
And if there isn't anything else, we will go to open forum. Anyone care to speak in open forum? Okay, hear nothing. We'll go to the consent agenda. We need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we pass the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
Vote, please.
Aye.
We'll go right to new business and critical issues. Bob, you have the podium.
All right, thank you. Bob Stanzer, 40862 West Fox Lake Road, Chief Lakes. And I talked to you one other time about the weather warning siren off Keno Lake Road, where the Horvath is going to be building a cell tower. And the city has received a couple different bids, one from Granite Electronics, the federal siren, and one from American Signal for an American Signal siren. And I had gotten some references for some municipalities within Minnesota that were using the American Signal, but I'm not familiar with them, and I know most of the sirens around are federal. And I think out of the five references, I talked to a couple of municipalities in Jackson County, and I got a pretty favorable response. But I went back to American Signal, Justin Raff, who's the sales manager, and I asked for some references in Wisconsin. And I'm kind of glad I did, because I found out that they have a dealer, kind of like Grand Electronics, called Sheboygan Cyrus, that's services a majority of the sirens that American Signal's got out there. They install a lot of them. And out of the references, I contacted City of New Berlin Emergency Management Director Jim Burns. He sent me an email on August 4th, and he called back and he said that they had federal sirens for the last 17 or 18 years. They've had American Signal sirens. Some of their sirens are at the point that they're wearing out and they're having to replace them. Their sirens are an older type that American Signal made. And then I contacted the City of Waukesha Police Department Captain. And yesterday I talked to him, and they've got 18 American Signal sirens, and they're serviced by Sheboygan Warning Sirens out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Same people that would service the sirens if they were here in 50 Lakes. They have a technician that comes out of Cumberland, Wisconsin, which is about 3.5 hours away. If you were to go with federal and have Grand Electronics service the sirens, they're out of St. Cloud, so they're 1.5 hours away. I also got a response from Ed Biederwolf with the town of Sheboygan. That was an email response. He's a fire chief. He said, as far as he knows, they haven't had any problem with the American Signal sirens. But he said, if you want more information, get a hold of the town engineer. And he gave me his name, but I didn't have time to call him. And then I I've gone back and forth with emails, and in your packet, you should have got a printed email from Sheboygan Cyber and this Tom Dinner Diner. Couple questions I had when I went to their website and I saw some of the service they were doing. They had a picture of the electric motor, and I call them commutators. He had a different word for it, and they were cleaning it because of carbon buildup. So that was one of my questions. Is that a common problem with American Signal Sirens? It was with the old ones. It's new technology now. And he stated, I think it's in the email, that he's the new ones, he's never had to clean one. So I was glad that I spoke with him, traded emails with him. I talked to him again yesterday, and his recommendation, as per the quote that we received from American Signal, is to have the sirens run off of battery with chargers to charge the battery rather than have them run off of 240 volts AC. And his reasoning is, the motors that drive either the American Signal or the Federal sirens are not designed for continuous duty. So if it runs off 240 volts and the county activates a siren and it never gets canceled, it's going to continue to run for hours, not minutes. So he says if you run it on batteries, after about 15 or 20 minutes, the batteries are going to be depleted enough that the siren will stop operating. So his recommendation, and he said the majority of them that they put them in with batteries to operate the siren with a 110 volt charger that recharges the batteries. And typically I think the sirens run for, 3 minutes when they activate them? I'm not sure exactly how long is standard, but so if you can run them for 15 or 20 minutes, I would say 3 minutes off the batteries is plenty of reserve capacity to activate the siren multiple times. So that was his recommendation. Yeah.
Just one question, yep. And maybe I should wait, but batteries, how long do they last, and how much are they?
The people I have talked to on both Federal and American Signal, if you want to do preventive maintenance, about every 4 to 5 years, you should change out the batteries. They're deep cycle, marine type. They're nothing special about them. But that's the type of battery that they use. They're not lithium ion or something like that. And he says it's something that street maintenance or somebody could, they wouldn't have to have a contract to maintain them if somebody within the city wanted to maintain them. But that's his recommendation. As far as servicing, whether it's American Signal or Federal, there are I don't know if they're grease zerks or whatever, but every, I'd say 5 or 6 years, the head end unit that revolves probably should have a little attention. Now, I've gotten feedback that they've seen sirens that they put them up 20 years later, nobody's touched them except for batteries, and they're still working fine. But if you want to be sure, then it's probably not a bad idea to have it maintained on a fairly regular basis.
Did you have any idea what the replacement cost and how many batteries? It's just the regular.
I think it's 4 batteries. Deep cycle, the T24 batteries or whatever standard that you and I go to the hardware store and buy. He mentioned what manufacturer they use. He said he thought that, is it VWF, a fairly new battery that's out there that's, he thought was manufactured in Minnesota, and he thought that's what Federal was probably using or Granite was using. I've seen that battery advertised. I don't know anything about it, but it's just a deep cycle marine type battery. So I don't know if you got any questions. Jim's available from Sheboygan Siren if you want me to call him.
What's their outlay? Should we order one now? How long does it take? Don't they build them special?
I don't know what the lead time is. I can find that out. I never asked what the lead time was. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can find that out.
Because I heard it was quite long. But
I thought last time you had a suggestion, or you thought one might be a little better than the other.
The American Signal, the story they've told me is that they want to expand their market in Minnesota. And so they've got a pretty healthy discount on their siren. So the original quote that they gave us was $26,058.60. And from Grand Electronics, the quote that we received did not include installation, and that's Ready Watt Electric that typically does the installs for and sets the pole, mounts the siren, and Granite comes out and mounts the electronics and the battery and stuff. If you add $10,000 to their quote, they're substantially higher. Okay. With the grant money, the city can almost get two American Signal sirens.
That's right.
And just put them on the board there.
But,
so the Granite City one didn't have any installation on it then.
Right. And on this comparison, I used the number that was in the Loretto quote that Ann had found on Minnesota Signal, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It's probably higher now, I'm guessing.
I looked at it a little different, and I took the installation quote that American Signal had, which was $9,300, so rather than $13,000. There was quite a bit of electric involved. I think with the one in Loretto, they had the one power through a garage or something that was in the quote. And I also found out that the poles, the wooden poles that these mount on, I thought Ready Watt Electric supplied and installed the pole, but they don't. Mm-hmm. It's a guy by the name of Tom's Services, out of Lindstrom. Ted, maybe it is. And yeah, Ted. Ted Services out of Lindstrom. And apparently he's got the poles, he's got the auger truck. So whether Federal Siren is hired or purchased and granted contracts with Ready Watt, this is the guy that's going to come out.
The pole regard.
He's going to set the pole with either manufacturer. He's going to set the pole.
And that was a 55-foot pole or 65?
55. 55 seems to be sort of the standard. We can ask for a taller pole.
pictures for distance of recovery is getting above the trees up there are probably all in that 90-foot range, I'm guessing.
The other thing, this siren on Keego Lake Road will not fully cover at the FEMA level Mitchell Lake. And so there was a question about, well, could we put another siren up off of 136? So I went up there and I got GPS coordinates, and I also, on behalf of the city, I contacted the county and said, you know, what does it take to access the utility right away within the road right away? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, there's a form you got to fill out. On behalf of the city, I filled out the form and submitted it to the county. And they received it. They said, we're not going to do anything with it until an exact location is identified and where that siren would go.
In your opinion, it should go right on the top of the hill, wouldn't it?
Well, as close as you can, depending on exactly where you are there. A little bit past where, on one map it's Sumac and the other one it's Crooked Lake Road. I don't know exactly what you
It's
want.
The same road, just has a different name.
It's the same road, okay.
Yeah.
If you can bring up that, yeah, so here it's called Crooked Creek. So if you're like right here, where those two intersect, that's the other thing I found out. The parcel of land on the southeast corner of Crooked Lake Road and County Road 136 is tax forfeited land.
Well, isn't most of that land all on the east side, all tax forfeit?
It might be. I wasn't looking any further than that parcel that was right there.
You're saying the northeast?
South of Crooked Lake Road at 136. South corner. That,
so there's a whole 40 there that's actually tax forfeit. It goes not quite to the top of the hill, but just short of the top of the hill.
If you go a little bit north of this intersection, on the east side of the road, there's two electrical meters. One services that house that's right there. I don't know who lives there, but there's a
You're
pretty new
past,
house.
Past the bridge then?
Before the bridge.
Before the bridge. It's got like a little marker on there. You can see gray. It's in gray.
Yeah, that's...
I couldn't see
it. Down further, right? Down to the right?
Well, the house is like right here.
Oh, so it's up there. It's
yeah.
It's not down where the arrow is?
Dirty Jim's up.
No, this is Crooked Creek. This is Crooked Creek Road and
right.
Sumac. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so right here is the house.
Yeah,
right.
Dirty just Jim's a little bit further. So yeah.
But the spot that's gray right there is what you're talking about?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah. That,
yep. See, my only thoughts are if it's this way, this is a county 40 that runs, or it's actually 160 acres of broken 40s that run all the way through here. But if you to get elevation, I see as distance. Is that not
to an extent?
But that's pretty high up there. That's kind of when you, because then you're coming down the hill to get.
But you would gain almost 50, 60 feet of elevation if you were 300 yards north,
gotcha.
And there is another electrical box. Wish we could bring up a different map, because there's another house just at the crest of the hill. There's a green electrical box right there.
Well, this, where I was, you're pretty much looking down at the Mitchell Lake access. And then there was a question, well, if you put one there, and now it's going to cover Mini Lake and part of Pug Hole Lake and maybe up into the south end of
Pug Lake
of Roosevelt. And if there was needed to be some cost sharing, would the city of Emily participate?
Thank you for doing all the work on this.
Yes, thank
you. So, I don't have a recommendation one way or the other. I think the city would be serviced good from either vendor. We do know that Grand Electronics takes care of the two-way radios, the armor system. They also maintain the VHF paging base that activates these sirens for the county. So,
I think if the price is significantly different, you're going to get a similar product.
That's the biggest thing.
It is.
The biggest difference in the shield is the price.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I can find out about the lead time, and I can send that to Ann so she knows.
I think Andy will contact them. He says
I'm just trying to feed you with as much information as I can so you can make a decision.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And I'm fine. I mean, if a decision is made that we should go with two, now that I submitted the form with the county, I mean, we may have to go out there and identify exactly where and then get the county out.
Well, the closer
there.
You get to a power box, the cheaper it's going to be all the way around. I mean,
yes.
But if we're on a battery, what would it matter?
Well, the shield may.
Yeah, it's going to charge it. Yeah,
and that's the advantage of having 110 volt charging your batteries. You can also go 240, but then you got more electronics involved to convert down to charge the batteries.
Oh,
anyway.
But is it 240?
You don't have to run. You don't have to
that's
run
something we could consider.
So,
just getting a solar panel.
Solar, yeah.
There, well, and that's another thing I did look at. I got a second quote for that. Thinking that, okay, this cell tower is taking forever. What if we want to put that one up and put on solar panels? And it adds about $3,000 to the price of the installation. But then I started to think, well, we really can't put it up there because the trees haven't been cleared. It hasn't been surveyed and staked. So figuring out where in that 100-foot plus, we'd probably be in the way when they start building the tower. So I just decided
to
didn't
take the top of the hill off.
Yeah. So,
but eventually the solar power might be a good idea to help
It could be. It's, yeah, I mean, they do put them
especially
in there.
Especially when the electricity goes out during the storm, and what if you have multiple alarms? I know it can go off a certain amount of times, but it might be nice to have that as a...
Well, the question is how, you know, I except for, you're right, we had two storms last year. A big one in the summer when the power went out, and we lost power again this winter.
We had 2 days out in that area that you're talking about, 2 days without electricity.
Yeah. So, I mean, solar might not be a bad idea. You know, it's an extra $1,000.
But maybe we just...
That charges the batteries. Normally, when power is up, the batteries are charged. But then, are they going to, you know, depending on how often they activate the siren, too. I know it's... I would say,
although when it does get activated, it's a necessity.
So solar and charge it off, you know, whatever 110 power and run them off batteries, you know, have those as options. If, you know, $3,000 isn't
with our Sourcewell.
No.
With our Sourcewell grant, we have 1 year to spend the money. Have we accepted that money yet?
Well, you're going to tonight. Right. We have it, but you have a resolution next.
Could you bring up that sound, the one of two slides? I think it's slide three, is it, or four?
Well, she's...
That one. So, this is the Kego Lake siren. And up at the top there is Mitchell Lake. Right here. Mitchell Lake. So this is with Kego Lake and the siren on 136 where I gave them coordinates for. And you can't see Mitchell Lake anymore because it's all covered with signal from that siren. And this is over here, then you're covering into, you know, northern part of Emily. And like we've talked about before, this is a recommended, you know, minimum, that 70 to 80 dB, but if you're outside, you can still hear it.
And that's the thing, I was working not far from your house on Monday. We could hear the siren down across Lake, which is 6 miles. No, I guess closest to Manhattan. So what's that? 3 miles?
Is there one at Manhattan?
That's what I'm trying to think.
I don't think so. There's one out by the community center across Lake.
Is that the one you're hearing?
I think so.
Did you hear it on Monday?
There's one down by Little Pine, right down here.
And so we're on West Fox and halfway down.
All right.
Yeah, I'm driving short of Bob, and yeah, I could hear it plain as day. And that's the thing that on that first picture, how they can decide that it's not going to travel to the other side of Mitchell Lake on the Kego Lake Hill, when you know as well as I do, somebody whispers across the lake, you can hear them.
Yeah, they're not saying it's not going to cover. It's just not going to cover at the recommended level. That's what they're saying. But you had mentioned higher, and nobody puts them 95 or 100 feet in the air. Because then you're overshooting. Now you're covering somebody in the next county, but your citizens aren't hearing it because...
And on that note, those ones that we're looking at, are they public address announcements too? So you're going to... No, they're just basically warning sirens.
Yep. They make them that are public address, but typically the public address ones that are used like at a stadium or a high school football field or something, they're not 130 dB sirens, they're like 100 dB. They're about like what you've got now. I think that's 101 dB siren. So they're not as loud. And then they have speakers, and some of them have speakers projecting out, and some of them have speakers that are stacked. But, yeah, the siren itself would not be as loud.
So just financially, you did receive the $50,000 from Sourcewell, and you have in public safety an additional $19,621. So you have just shy of $70,000 in public safety, of which that $20,000, that's what it was meant to go for, towards the siren.
Well,
it
would be nice to have the solar power just because it could easily go out again for 2 days. Electricity,
you
have backup for the siren.
So, with your quotes, it was 27 each, about.
So 54,000.
With That's a mistake. It should be a 55-foot pole. On the second quote I got with solar panels, they came up to $29,456.
This one or a different one?
I don't think it's on that. It was a separate.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Signal quote.
So.
So the original quote was $26,058.
Yep.
And with the solar panels, it's $29,456.
What was your second number there? 29?
29,456, yeah.
It's a solar panel.
With panels.
Yep.
So times two, you're looking at 58,000.
And 50 of it is coming to Sourcewell.
Now, the one thing, when they come out to put the pole in, and you pour in a hole, if he hits a boulder, so really, I have to mark at least two locations within that 100 by 100 foot.
In both of those locations are extremely cold.
And that's an additional charge. That's not included. It's, and I don't know what they charge.
In Boulder is not.
Move over and drill another hole. But.
How deep do they put them?
You say 10 feet.
10 feet.
We wouldn't have to run electricity if we went with solar panels, correct? Or do they still require it?
No, you wouldn't have to.
So they do install that cost.
In fact, way back in 2018-19, when there was going to be five or six sirens, there was at least one, if not two, of those that were going to be solar only. So you're right. When you have an array of solar panels that charge the battery, you run off battery. You don't really have to have 110.
Yep. Well, the cell tower thing seems like it's taken forever, isn't it?
Right.
And now we go back to square one with them.
Well, the good thing is, apparently there's a new landowner from when they originally signed the lease, but they've got a new lease, and they've talked to the landowner about a pole for the siren, and that's not an issue. So we have permission from Corbath to install a wood pole in their 100 by 100 foot leased area.
That's good, but if we have to wait until they put the tower up before we...
Yeah, which I think on that one, a person doesn't really have a choice. I mean, even if it was solar power,
well,
it's staked and surveyed,
if I'm not mistaken, the way I don't really know if there is any sort of lead time. We might be looking at the next year before we get it installed, I'm thinking.
Yeah,
pretty realistic.
I know.
But at least we can get it started. And if they decide to put a tower in there, then we have our siren up, then they're going to have to deal with.
I know they've asked how long the CUP was good for. And I know that Justin has sent them an application for building permit and whatever else they need. But it's, to my knowledge, he hasn't received the signed documents back.
So could we proceed with the landowners on our own?
Well, I don't see why the city couldn't. But you probably would want to stay out of that 100 by 100 foot area.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm not saying that.
Or the back portion.
That's what I'm thinking, is maybe we just want to pick a different
location.
Otherwise, we're waiting
right.
On
the
or that's true. We're kind of doing it independently.
Or pick a different location. I think up there by the drive in open gate where they logged within the last couple of years.
Well, there's actually a
that might be.
Open gate or Edgewell?
Edgewell, I'm sorry, yeah, Edgewell.
Well, actually, there again, there's an electrical box. The driveway where this went into Baker's property, on the next hill, on the opposite side, and that's where I was going to ask you a question. How did the county react when you asked about putting a tower on county property?
Positive.
They were, because if
especially in the road right away.
Well, we see on the back side of the road right away just because of
yeah.
Mowing and everything else. We really don't want to be.
Yeah.
But on that right-of-way, there is another electrical box, I believe, in there. Just on that next ridge before you drop down the hill, there's a power box up on that west side of that road. And I'm getting kind of frustrated with whoever it is that's putting the tower up too, as far as... And that's why I'm worried about accepting $50,000 from Sourcewell at this point. If we have 1 year to spend that money...
Well, maybe we should
put our own up to it and stop worrying about the tower.
You know, we can't... We were looking for help from the people with the tower. That's why we were kind of waiting on them. But with what Bob's saying here, we can do this all independently.
Yes.
Within almost that budget. And I don't, you know, maybe, like you say, with this, you know, we don't want to go, I don't think, next year without sirens.
Agreed.
Right.
So, with that being said, Bob's already identified one place off 136 and Kegel Lake Road. I don't know, do we try to go where the tower is, or do we just find a different place entirely? Because we are, it seems now, we are pretty much independent from the tower manufacturer, builders, and...
We were hoping originally to put the...
To kind of tie it all together. So this is creating, maybe, in looking at them and being with them, it's creating more problems than it's worth.
Correct.
And with, you know, looking at this second site, which... You know, that's totally independent, so we can do that. Well, let's do another independent site and not have to worry about that.
My thoughts, both of these are on county, both locations I have in my mind are on county location. The biggest thing is they're on that River Lane Ridge.
Right, right. It's
from Emily all the way down to the end of West Fox Lake Road, really. And that ridge is the barrier.
Right, right.
Put up. If we can be on the ridge, we're going to reach out farther. I know they talk about an overshoot, but I...
Well, if you've got a ridge blocking it, that's going to stop it too, right. You know, so...
55 feet sounds like that standard, as long as we're kind of a little higher than right. Like that.
You know, so I think with that being said, the question is, do we continue with the site up on Kegel Lake, or do we try to find a piece of county property up in there that we can get it on?
And
do we need to worry about the electricity if we're going to go with solar? I know that electricity is a good, you know, but again, like we had said, we had a couple storms last year where we were out of power for a few days, and that solar is going to keep charging.
Jill Hale works the panels.
Well, according to the guy that we just had here, trying to sell a solar panel, they're pretty tough.
There's a big solar farm recently that got
pretty big.
Well, baseball size.
Oh, yeah.
Hailstones.
Yeah. But, you know, with that being said, too, then there is a certain cost involved in running electricity to that, which would...
It's offset by the
solar. Offset by the solar, which you said was about 3,000 roughly, you know. You know, I know running power, that's, you know, I guess $1,000 easy. So we do get a little offset there, too.
Do you see the county land there on your map?
Is that the green?
No.
Or is it yellow?
Yep.
Okay.
So we're actually on this one. This is all county. Right here. So you're coming up the hill, so it's actually county land, right? Past?
No, what about this? Would that be the other
option? This one, let's see.
Where are we trying to go on the other side?
Bakers.
So really, there's no county over on that side that we could get into.
Well, is it this county?
No, we're on the right side.
So is this county land?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's county land here, here's county land here.
But what we should be looking at is more contours and elevation. And I don't know where it is. This is the straight stretch of road that we changed 10, 15 years ago. It used to weave all through here, but somewhere on the stretch there's Well, we don't need electrical, but I say we find the highest point here. And the highest point here was River Lane, right there. Those burners crested the hill. But there again, theoretically, we're on Emily property.
Well, you might be on county property.
Well, we're on county, you're right.
Yeah.
We're on county property, but we're at Emily's
district.
Right.
Sure. So they might actually help us with some of the costs. What about this area? Would this be high enough?
This is private, this is considered as well.
Well, look at the legend. No, that's
county property.
Your legend shows you down there, to the left.
Commercial.
Special protection, that's not it?
Well, with that being said, where we're looking right now is right in here somewhere for the one. Could we, I don't know how high that is.
No, it's actually not here. I was wrong. This is the current Baker property. This is the current location right here.
Oh, all right.
The current tower is going to be sitting right here, somewhere in that mark.
Okay. I was thinking it was further up towards Kegel, I guess.
No, it's right here. This is the ridge runs, comes right down River Lane, and pretty much right down this contour.
So what about this? Does this work? This part of this land, that's common property?
Yes, but I think it's higher here.
Oh.
Drive the road sometime. You crest out the road, roughly right in here is the highest point.
So how about this? If you want to approve the two sirens tonight, the purchase of them, and then
we work out the land issue. Mm-hmm.
If that's what he's recommending.
And then we could do the sound thing and see if we still get the coverage, even if it's not the highest point.
Well, I don't think we get quite the coverage because you probably bought 50 to 60 feet less elevation there. The thing about where this tower is going and where we're trying to get to, the hill just to the northeast is the highest point, second highest point in Crowley County.
Right, and I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying if we can get the coverage, if it covers, if the two of them will still overlap, it might work out.
Well, planning and zoning can go back to Horvath too and find out, if they're going to make a commitment this year or not.
Right.
Chad, did you have a question?
As far as waiting for the tower to be built, I know a foreman that built the towers on Nebraska, and he said Verizon put a stop on all towers.
Yeah, I think we should go independent. I think we should take the two
and
let's do it.
Well, it seems we've got a pretty good location on 136 mm-hmm. to start with. At least we just need to find a new spot for the other one.
But let's go ahead and finance the whole thing, but let's ask Emily to still cover maintenance costs. We'll put it up, they cover all the maintenance.
Well, why don't they cover the balance? We were to get the $50,000.
See,
it's
an advantage to them because we are covering in Emily with that one-on-one thing.
Like quite a bit,
absolutely.
Like almost half.
And that's one.
Yeah.
We've all driven Mitchell Lake Road. You've got the spot figured out at Sumark there. Wonder how much more would we still gain a bunch of coverage if you went up the road 1 mile up by where Waterbury's used to be?
Past Mitchell?
Yeah, past Mitchell, maybe another half mile on the crest of that hill, because that's going to cover
further north. If we have a map, it would really be helpful.
It's worth looking at.
Yeah. But I think we approve them tonight, and then we get the rest of this nailed down. And
I agree.
If you
come up with a couple locations and give me coordinates, I can go back to American Signal. And
you want three?
Depending on who you decide to go with, I can go back to the bed and maybe do some maps.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a motion on that.
I'll make a motion to accept the Sourcewell grant, and included in that would be we'll have American Signal do with the solar panel on there, get the coordinates, send it to them, and then work with them.
So you're approving the purchase of two.
Sorry, yes.
With Paul.
And I will find out what the lead time is.
I think it's quite a ways. That's why we, to get this rolling for even that summer, we need to get it rolling.
Yep. Okay, can I get a second on the motion?
Second.
Take a vote, please.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
You do a lot of work for this.
You job. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we will need to accept the resolution 2023-14. Resolution accepting a donation of $50,000 from the Southwell Community Solutions Funding. Where is this? Should I read the whole thing?
No.
That's it? Okay, I'll make a motion. All right, vote please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, next we have up is moving the checking account from Franzen Bank to the Pine River State Bank. We talked about that before. Did we not make a motion on that?
You did say we could, but I just wanted to make you aware that it is happening. But and I do want, for the banks, because they want a motion saying that you're moving. Yeah, you don't have to say where we're moving from. It's saying we're moving these accounts to Pine River State Bank. So with that, then, I just, if you go back to your cash control statement, we have an ATM account, and we also have a lottery account. Right now, those two accounts are at First Western. So, logistically, moving this account,
five.
This account over to Emily, we still have two accounts in it across this.
So, the two that are highlighted?
No, those are CDs.
Oh,
right. No, it's up on top.
Sorry.
ATM and lottery. So, ATM right now has 4,000 in it, lottery has 8,000 in it. But I did speak with the bank today just to make sure we would be insured enough with having all three checking accounts there, and they said, yes, there is not a worry about that. So, that's where I'm opening up the discussion to you, if you want all three accounts moved over there.
So, do you want all three accounts moved over there?
Well, logistically, yeah,
okay.
For driving purposes,
right.
But we'll still do it. That's not a problem.
I mean, it just makes more sense. Yeah.
On that note, did you talk to First Western today? Can you have somebody else be the signer on those CDs?
Well, that's a problem, though. Right now, we have three assigners approved. Myself, Tony, and you. Okay? They have the paperwork ready for signature. And that has nothing to do with these checking accounts.
Okay?
It's the CDs.
Can we change my name?
You're the assistant manager, or mayor. Oh, geez. So your name is on there. You signed when I'm gone.
Can you sign for me?
Okay, there's nothing there for checks to sign.
No, I wouldn't sign today. I'm all caught up.
Okay. But what they hold, the only thing that you're a signer on is CDs. So you go in there and sign this, you don't go back. Okay? Until the CDs renew or until you want to move them. So if you want those CDs, did they say you had to go into the bank, or can I bring them here?
I don't know. You can call
her
tomorrow.
Okay.
She told me that we could pick them up, sign them, and deliver them back.
Then let's
you pick them up tomorrow and call me. I'll show you.
Okay. And then when they come up, if you so choose to move the CDs, then yes, we can.
Okay.
Could I get a motion? Moving the bank account?
Make a motion. We switch the three bank accounts from Franzen Bank to Pine River State Bank.
And First Western.
And First Western, yes.
Yeah.
Vote, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Looks like you're up. Let's see. Looks like you're up,
Karen. Well, I really don't have anything for planning and zoning this time. They're working on changing some subordinates and looking at that. And other than that, I really don't have much anything on that right now.
I did talk to Justin about them changing some of them, like if somebody wants to put two loads of dirt in their yard, they can spend more on permits and inspections than they do on the two loads of dirt without any problem. And the other thing being, on our permit, it's stated that when they get a septic permit, they have to put a plan date, and there's a service charge if they don't use that certain date. There's like a $75 charge, and I'd like to see that changed.
Okay, we'll have to, I think your adjustment's aware of it, I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
That's it for planning and zoning for tonight?
Yep.
Okay. We'll go on to parks. First, we're going to talk about the park pavilion bathroom utility room ceiling. And I think you know more about that than I do.
Yeah, I guess we just need to, I've been rather busy lately and I haven't gotten too far on anything on that. I did get, I've got quotes for material on that. But I guess it's just finding someone to do it. And if nobody else would, I guess I could. But I just don't want it to be a conflict of anything, you know.
It won't.
Okay.
I guess it just depends on what you think your labor would be at, you know, for our...
Right. And I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Unless Jesse wants to jump in on this.
Maybe not.
But I'll get that.
Okay.
Well, we got the water hookup to the park pavilion.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're getting there.
They did hook up the water?
No. Oh, you have a bid in front of you.
Yes.
Oh,
blue water wells.
I thought it was already done. I was like, oh my goodness,
that's awesome. Bid's coming.
So we need approval on that. But I want you to fully understand with that. This is just your normal 1-inch pipe to get water to the pavilion for the bathroom. It has nothing to do with the splash pad. The splash pad well will have to be separate.
Yep.
It'll have to be separate completely?
Yes, because it needs a way bigger.
You got a larger requirement. We need what we can provide with what's here, I believe. I think is why we'd have to go to a new well.
Yes, and and everything we'd have to do, and Chad pipe in, because you know Waymar, is it would cost us so much money, and there's no guarantee we're going to get that water.
We'd have to, I believe, as I recall, we'd have to increase the size of the pipe coming off the well. I think
the size of the pump.
The size of the pump. But then wasn't the size of the pipe coming out of the side of the building like 2-inch, and was it said that we needed 3 or something?
It's 3-inch coming out of there now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, but our pump will only do 100 gallon a minute.
And that's when there.
And when it pushes it that far, your loss is
yes.
You know, 100 gallon a minute.
Yeah, and that's, wasn't it 100 gallons, that's what they're requiring, so.
And also you can't use that water for anything that a kid is gonna drink because the well is not grouted all the way down.
And they drink it. We were just at the one in Deerwood. There's a drinking fountain there, and my grandkids, under everything.
The well was done so long ago that if the rules change now, they have to grout all the way down now, and that well is not grouted all the way down.
So realistically, we're looking at a new well.
You're looking at a new well.
Yeah. But for now.
That'll do 100 gallon now.
For now, this will get our bathrooms up and running, so we'll have some bathroom facilities over there.
Mm-hmm.
In the but pavilion. Something to keep in mind, we're still going to be pumping that water quite a ways. I mean, if we do put down a new well because of its location with the septic system, it's going to have to be 50 feet away from that tank.
Is a current well?
Yeah.
Okay, so we could do it near the new well, or is there, you cannot go?
But the thing about the old, going near where the old well is in that little alcove between the two buildings.
It
just doesn't.
Inconvenient.
There's sewer lines run through it now, you can't do it.
Gotcha, right.
Is there a spot for a well for the splash pad?
Well, we have to go over on that far property line in order to keep We'd have to be 50 feet away.
Okay.
So you're looking at halfway to the trees over there, somewhere over there.
But it's doable.
It's doable. Yeah, I'm just.
Okay.
We have
setbacks. Yeah, I want to know that.
There's setbacks to meet.
Yeah.
You couldn't put the well right there because you'd be within 20 feet of the tank.
Right.
So this water here, we run it into the bathroom, we can't put a drinking fountain or
no.
We have to distribute it's, I mean, you can't take a drink out of the faucets.
No. I mean, people do, that's what,
right,
I mean,
right.
Those are community centers, it's the same thing, right?
Like, put in a dedicated drinking fountain.
Worst comes to worst, come in and get, like, Culligan, those big barrels of water where you just tap the water, I mean, you know, it's drinking water.
Well, I mean, this is fine.
There must be some ways we can get it.
Where would we put that?
Yeah.
In the pavilion.
Well, no, because, well, if we do the splash pad, we are required
right,
to have it.
Right.
So, yes, if you're worried about people drinking it.
You know, the ones who
people
go
are drinking
with
it.
The pickleball when they get thirsty. But we put up signs, this is not drinking water. Go to the bar and purchase a bottle of water.
He's alive.
Maybe
he drinks
maybe.
It every day.
For 2 years, I'm so alive.
I don't think we want to advertise that. Don't drink the water.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. No.
Well, from Flint, Michigan.
So I'm pretty sure nobody'd be like, whoa, wait, what's going on? Do I want this toxin? I'm going to.
I need a motion to accept the bid from Blue Water Well.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Vote, please.
Aye.
Park committee members and meeting dates. So I'll leave that up. Okay, we'll talk about that. Ann and I met with Jenna, and I don't know her last name.
Victor.
Okay. And we have some other members that, what, people
didn't
that
show up
said they couldn't come. And so it was just preliminary today. Ann's going to contact the other members, and we're going to set up dates. Hopefully we'll start meeting once a month and get some planning going for some fundraising and some ideas for improvements.
Yeah, this gal that came today, just quickly, she's a mom of a 4 and 5 year old and really has great ideas already.
Mm-hmm.
And she's young. And then another gal that's going to join us is a retired principal. She's helped raise funds for 3 different large parks, playgrounds. And then another one is a teacher down at Cross Lake Charter.
Nice.
Yeah. And then another is, we have 2 others, Diana and then Lori Wasmick, that are just going to be there for
moral support.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
It will.
Great. Community gardens. I'll leave that up to you, ma'am.
Me.
Oh, that's Jill.
Yeah. So I've heard from community members in many different areas about how community gardens have brought in a lot of kind of camaraderie in the area, and people have really loved to do it. We don't really have space for that right now, but I was throwing it out there because it could, some people who, like where I live, it's all pines and, you know, it's really hard to grow stuff except for baby berries. But that seems to pull in people from other areas as well, because like Cross Lake has already expanded theirs twice. And they're going to start one in Breezy Point, and apparently it's a really good way to get community members together. And so I was just throwing it out there for us to start thinking about the Sportsman's Club would be a great place to try and do some of that, because it's got the sunlight, which would be helpful. And then we'd have to do something with that space, obviously. But it's already got the water source, you know, for watering.
The biggest question is what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, that's
right.
At this point,
because that's really the only spot right now that is even probably realistic.
And on that same note, with what's going on with the Kadapa, with the road and having to move all the bins and everything on a drop of a hat, we don't own any other dirt property other than
right.
What we are sitting on. We need another location. I don't know if we need to go and talk to Keith across the road. I'd have to talk to Ron again, because I think that his agriculture land is now on a set aside.
That's what he
said. So he couldn't even purchase anymore. We couldn't purchase any more ground other than where the current foundation sits. where it'd be nice to have a larger chunk, and that's why I'm thinking, do we approach Skeet about getting this property over here? Or do we put the garden and talk to the county about putting it on the county tax forfeit on the corner of the intersection, but that becomes a driving hazard for people?
Yeah, and there's no water source yet, and water source.
And there's such nice trees there.
But it is something to think about for the future, because it is right. Not everybody has a good spot to grow garden.
What about purchasing the sportsman's club? Can we continue to try and talk?
It's a 501c3, right? So it can only be donated to another 501c3.
Okay, so can we get it donated to the fire department and then have the fire department give it to us or sell it to us for dollars?
Fire department can own property. Fire department has owner, and we could run it as part of the fire department, I believe, but I don't
know. Does the fire department want to run a community garden? I mean, if they do, fine. And I don't care. I mean, I would be very happy with that.
It would have to be something that lawyers would have to look into.
Okay.
Do we want Ann to contact the lawyer? How much do we want to spend to have
I don't know that we need to contact a lawyer about a community garden. Like, I think.
No, well, it's more about the piece of property.
Right.
What is going to happen with it?
And we've been working on that for quite some time.
Yeah, that issue Jody started bringing up 2 years before she was done.
I did speak with John Engle. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, like, I think Ann and I talked earlier. Why can't the city purchase that property that the 501c3 is on for the amount that they owe on it that they can't pay? And then maybe they could, so that's their, kind of their donation is just to say, fine, we'll forfeit it. Like, you pay the taxes, and that's what you would, or whatever we would, whatever
because
you would.
There are 501c3, there are no tax. There's no property tax to do at this point.
Okay, but they have fees or something, is what I understood.
I think it's something down to we need to find out what we can and cannot do with it at this point. We just were very uncertain. We've been working on this for quite some time, probably well over a year.
Oh, a couple of years.
Three, four years.
Periodically.
It just, we keep
so what should we do? Control. So I would be fine taking points with that if we can try and get this done. So what? If I need to find out what steps I need to take, that's fine, so that we can finally
that's what I think it's a legal matter because of the tax exempt status of their
loan. So we need to find out if the city can purchase the land that the 501c3 owns currently, right? And then we know that the 501c3 is defunct, right? So there's something that's still there's two people that are still alive, right? That
I spoke with John Engle, and he said he's been meaning to, for a while, go up to the building and look at the paperwork to see exactly what they can do with that property. He's not clear.
So maybe John just needs to be encouraged.
Right, so I will get on John. Okay, I just need to
in the meantime, then, I'm going to contact the league, because there's no cost for that, and say, I'll explain the whole circumstance and see if, in fact, they can donate it to the city, or if we can buy it for
whatever they want.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That'll make some progress.
Yeah.
I'm going to encourage him because I went and pulled all the snow from in front of it and shoveled the sidewalk and shoveled everything so he could get in there last winter and find out.
Oh. Well, I can plow and shovel this.
Okay, John, okay. Get in there before we have to plow and shovel it.
There you go. Okay, so that I will leave that. And anything else on parks? Anybody have any parks stuff? Going to fire and rescue, Jill? Jesse?
We had five medicals and two fire last month.
And is this the time that we want to talk about putting some money aside for the relief fund?
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
Anything else on fire? Rescue? Road construction and maintenance, Mark, take it away.
Okay, rather than going to hiring a full-time person, Chad opted to and he's already used them for 6 or 8 hours. Bill Bright, who was our former maintenance person, I think it's a good fit. I just don't know what we should pay him. Currently, Greg, our other 22, Bill has, but he can't drive any, he doesn't have a Class A, he doesn't drive any of the big trucks. Where Bill has that ability.
I thought Book was at 21.
So I don't know if we'd like to pay him something more. He'd be an on-call, it wouldn't be a set 20 hours a week.
Right. I wanted to hire him on the fact that he'd be on-call for the winter, because I go up to Red Lake fishing and it starts snowing. I got to pull up and come home because it's snowing down here and I got to plow. There's nobody else to do it. Bill can do it. And he's more or less going to be on call when I need him. Like, I needed him to help move all this stuff over here, so that's why I called him in for the day. It wouldn't be, he's not going to have any set days or anything. It'll just be on call for winter. And summer cleanup, maybe, if anything, so.
What did we pay him for the help that he just provided?
We had to turn his hours in, yeah.
We had, pardon?
We had to turn his hours
in. We decided.
And Vuk actually makes 21.
Vuk makes 21.
And when Bill left, he was at 25, I believe.
23. I was thinking 24, just because he's on call. So he'll come with the drop of a dime. But I wouldn't be using him a lot. I don't go on vacations so often.
I'm okay with 24. You guys okay with 24? I need a motion.
I made a motion to pay Bill Bright $24 an hour for an as-needed basis.
I'll second that.
Vote?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Okay, the other thing you've got in your packet is the bill for the John Deere tractor. The only thing there is the transmission of, so we'll need a motion to pass to discuss this.
I make a motion to approve the
This is just for the changing the transmission work that McCoy is going to do, but I have to pay to get it up there and pay to get it back. So that I have a trailer for it.
It'd
be cheaper if I had somebody do it than to have McCoy do it. So I just wanted to hire somebody to come and get it hauled up there.
Any estimate on when you think the price might be?
I have no idea what they charge per mile.
You know who would do it for you?
I have a couple of people up in Grand Rapids that would come down and get it. They'll take it up there, and
that's what
Cass County Construction probably would call it for me if I wanted them to. But I haven't.
So do we have a guesstimate so we can say not to exceed whatever?
I'd say not to exceed $6,300.
Oh, you mean for the total?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you need more, just come to Mark. Like, so that we don't have to wait for another council meeting. So, yeah.
I don't suppose it'd be in your wheelhouse to rent a trailer and bring it up there yourself.
I don't know who's got a heavy enough trailer.
Yeah, you're talking about a big enough.
Oh,
that's a big.
Miller ain't got some.
Oh, all right.
I was thinking.
What is that rate?
Bobcat trailer.
I'm not sure.
$16, $17.
Well,
I'm gonna take the loader and everything off, so it'd probably be 50.
Well, it has to be DOT, right?
Yeah, or something. It has to be DOT.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you check.
Just a question.
So do we get a,
Jill started the motion, but the labor for 60.
Okay, so, all right, so not exceed 6,300, and if so, he should speak with Mark and get approval for it.
I'll second that.
Vote.
Some of it, and just for an FYI, the transmission on one ton is starting to slip, so everybody be aware of that. I know the last one I had down was like 2,100. So
I'm hoping it'll make it to the winter.
I would rather do it before.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Anything else with road construction and maintenance?
Nope, that's covered.
Chad?
No, just this next, like this next week, I'm going to be spraying all the buildings off because all the cobwebs are all over the place. So I'll be spraying all the buildings off because everybody's wondering what a little prayer to spray on the buildings for.
That reminds me, I was at the playground today, and like on the, where the slides and stuff are, that one little place where the little steps are that go up in that little thing, would you mind spraying that off? It's dirty, it's got dirt, it just looks kind of cruddy.
Okay.
And on that, did you contact Crowing Power about chips anymore?
Wood chips?
Yeah. Are they not chipping anymore?
I don't think it pays to have them bring wood chips because we don't have a place to dump them.
Can we just have them do one load and put it right into the playground?
Yeah, you could put it next to the playground.
Put them on the parking lot, yeah. But I talked to them, but they're not chipping right now.
They're done chipping for the season?
I don't know if they're done for the season or not. They might do it in the fall, I don't know.
I haven't seen them dumping chips anywhere.
No, they haven't been chipping.
Is it a practice, or they're just not doing it? They're
not spraying.
Okay.
I guess there are Randy, it's yours. Yeah, I don't know if you read this report, but it's in your packet, right? For the P&L report, for 2023 in June, we looked at total sales of 109,000 for the month of July, which is up substantial. In June of this year, we're 101,000, so break that down to your gross profit. You'll see that July we were right just on practically $60,000 compared to 2022. The numbers are somewhat related, but we had 108,000 for the month of July last year, 98,000 for the month of June of last year. So pretty much had some good 3-4 weeks of at the bar. I don't know if you have anything you want to comment on.
No one asked anything, but the gross profit was at 54%, so
yeah.
We were doing something right.
Very good month.
Yeah, very good. It was a good month.
And then why don't you touch base on the and staff report that we
okay, so the variances, I have done some research on the beer. I found that, let's see, over 600 of it is a POS problem. I personally transferred beer for 50 Lakes Day and it's not showing up on there, so that totaled over $600 for that.
What does that mean that you didn't transfer it over?
I transferred it. Anything we take from the off sale, you have to transfer to the on sale.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I could pinpoint two products at least that did not transfer that I know were transferred. I'm still looking into more of that. But
is that POS system not talking to each other again? Is that,
you know,
is it a technical problem? Is it?
It seems like when we had the hard drive crash and stuff like that, it seems like I'm finding some stuff in the back office that is not correct. So I'm going slowly through some of that stuff and trying to figure it out. I did email Phil, who is the programmer for Transform that helps us out on a lot of this. So hopefully he'll have an answer. He did tell me that we need to get the IT guys in here to upgrade. Okay, I'm not tech savvy. Upgrade our hard server to Windows Pro Serve. So I did send Dylan an email today
And hopefully, I haven't heard back from him, but it was later in the day after I talked to Phil. So hopefully we can get that going. And maybe that'll fix some of this. I don't know.
Okay.
Just so you know, some of the problems were me, though. It was some entering problems that I had, and like 500 of it was taking from two places, so that was my error on that.
So that's is there a way that you can still continue to try to work with that system, but also have maybe just a form to just write down, okay, 12-pack of this?
Hannah and I talked about that today. She brought that up, going back to just a paper copy to see. And then I can still do it on the system and then track the papers together and see what's driving and what isn't. So.
And some of the issues, correct me if I'm wrong, during the day there's a day till and then two night tills. So there was at times before that day till got closed out, there were still some outstanding purchases in there.
Yeah. So in the off-sale till, if they don't complete the transfer, it goes to an existing tab in the back, which we don't discover until the night bartender is trying to get all the reports off from there. So then that's another transfer issue there. So we did have a staff meeting Sunday. We talked about the variances and the transfers and all of that, and I think hopefully it'll be, they understand.
Okay.
So. That's pretty much what I have on the variances. Does anybody have any questions on that? Any other ones? So I did email Quality Fab. Jeremy came out. Chad and I met with him last week? Yeah, last week. So he is going to get together a hood. Not really sure where we left that. He was going to...
He's going to build a 4 foot by
8?
36 inch hood to go over the top of the, almost like the center of the kitchen. And then we're going to get it by a bigger fan and suck the stuff out of the pipe.
When you say 4 by 3, I don't understand. 4?
4 foot by 36 inches, so it's 4 foot by 3 foot.
Would that be enough to take all the air out of there? Or?
I would think so.
Well, I guess it depends on how big of a...
How big of a fan you're going to get.
Fan and then the discharge, won't it?
Yeah.
That's
your problem, not greater.
Mm-hmm. What is the current... discharge pipe?
8 inch.
So, I mean, and Diane and I talked about it, something needs to be done because today was horrible in the office for us. I mean, we're just like, I don't understand it.
The fan that we have in there does not have enough power to push.
Well, it wasn't on today. I shouldn't have used that. It wasn't on today. Sorry.
With an 8 inch discharge pipe, is that enough to move it?
I would think so. The fan that we currently have is a 6 inch going to an 8 inch.
Oh.
So if we have an 8 inch fan, it's going to fill that whole pipe.
Oh, good. What would the cost be?
And if that doesn't work, you can also put a fan in line halfway up.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Power fan, no.
I think he was just getting together the stuff to tell us how much it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's what we asked, was just a ballpark, just kind of so we could see what.
So, what but I just wanted you guys to know that, yes, we did have him come out. So that's moving along. About the only other thing I have is Ole, that worked at the bar, passed away. So we do have his memorial service on the 19th in the pavilion. So if you guys, anybody wants to come.
What time, please?
Noon. The 19th of August. Yep, at noon. All right, that's all I have.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else, Randy?
So on to mayor's report. Council members absences at meetings back in January of this year. There was a motion made by Mr. Bradley and seconded by Mr. Staples to allow council members and planning commission members to vote at one meeting per year remotely via interactive technology. I would like to see that upped to at least two, possibly.
Well, I think the state is three.
Is there a limit to the
state? When I was at the CLICS conference, they said, I don't think there is a limit.
There's not a limit?
I don't think so.
Probably because of COVID.
Probably change the COVID.
We don't want to encourage people not to come to the meetings, but also, too, there are circumstances or whatever that people can't.
Sure. I would say maybe three.
Just put it as needed.
Yeah, we could do that, too.
I have a motion.
What's this one saying? One time only?
Well, that was just thrown out.
That was kind of last,
January. Why don't you do two, and if I find out anything
wrong? I think three, because I think that's what the state wrote.
Okay.
And I think you should just start there. If
it's wrong, I'll let you.
I haven't seen anybody of you, I mean.
No.
I you know what I'm saying? And I know that there's some people that might have health. Someone might have someone in the family with health issues, and it might be nice to be able to still participate, or if they want to be gone for some
time. Well, at the conference, we just have to abide by everything. So we have to have where you are has to be a public location. Whether it's your hotel room, it has to be open to the public. Okay. So anybody can attend the meeting.
So it has to be in a public place.
Not necessarily. If you do have it, you want to Zoom from your hotel room. Uh-huh. It's posted then, so they can show up.
Oh, I see. That needs to be public. But you have to be in a public place.
I would encourage that. Go to the lobby or something.
Yeah. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just saying. Okay. Yeah.
We need a motion on that. Do we rescind this other one? Mm-hmm. No. Just make the new motion. Okay.
I'll make the motion that we approve of the members of vote as needed per year remotely.
Do you want as needed?
I don't need that one. That's opening it up to where I don't have to ever come here. I always need to be at home.
But I don't think anybody.
And there are people that will take advantage of that.
Change it if someone starts to make a problem.
But that may be too late.
Why would it be too late? Because you could just amend it. That's what
I've seen some councils where, if you don't show up three meetings in a row, you're out. And I have noted some that the members, one member in particular, was kind of taking advantage of that, not showing up all the time. And if you're elected here, I think you should try to be here, but I do understand Tony's, and I'm in the same boat. I would like to be gone from here for a couple months in the winter too.
And Mark goes to Alaska.
Mark goes to Alaska. We all go on vacation. I'd rather not have it open-ended. I'd rather have a set.
I guess right now then I feel more comfortable with three, and if anything's different via state statute, I'll bring that back to you.
And if somebody starts abusing it, I say we...
Well, they can't vote if it's over three.
Oh, that's true. That's
they can attend remotely, but they can't vote.
Right, gotcha.
It's the voting.
I'd be good with two, maybe three.
Well, I'll make a motion to allow three absences. That's not how it is. Remote attendance.
Okay. He still has a motion on the table.
Sorry.
So call for a second. If you don't have a second, then
we have a second.
I would second that, but I would second his too. But I'm just in.
Okay. Do we have a second for Randy's?
Yes.
Okay. Then you can have discussion and maybe amend the motion to say.
I'm kind of disgusted. We're discussing some more.
I'm not for it.
But you can amend his motion.
Would you like to amend your motion?
Sure. I'd like to amend the motion. issued to two times?
Three times.
Three times per year for remotely voting on the city council.
I'll second that.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote?
Aye.
Okay, ordinance prohibiting adult use cannabis on city property.
So you have three ordinances in front of you. I just need to know if this is something you want us to pursue. These are samples from other cities.
There's another one in the
These ordinances?
Yes.
And it was exactly the same as what these
was it?
Are.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because if you do, then we'll revise this and bring it back next month for adoption.
And we're talking about just the ordinance prohibiting the cannabis, or are we talking about some other things that are also?
It's prohibiting the use of cannabis.
Right, so
I haven't actually had a chance to read through all of it.
No, it's fine. I just, because then we have the renew CDs down here. And then we have
It's okay. Just the cannabis.
Because right. That was happening yesterday. Oh, there it is.
Here?
At the bar. So.
Okay.
It's not me. Don't believe me.
I just don't see it not happening.
It's already happened. It was happening before the law was.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. There.
Well, I think our discussion was my concern. I don't want to be sitting out there with my grandkids and it's right. happening, nor at the park.
Right.
I agree.
With that being said, would you be comfortable with someone smoking cigarettes and drinking over there with your grandkids?
No.
There?
No.
And do we not allow cigarettes and.
There is nothing post. No. I mean.
Because I think this should be much like any ordinance we have on alcohol and tobacco. Because they have now legalized, normalized this, and I think it's much like tobacco or alcohol.
It's going to be regulated that way.
Absolutely. So I think we should regulate it.
What happens if someone wants to buy a seltzer and then they're playing pickleball? And they just have a coolie or whatever.
I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, I thought someone just said they did.
I mean, if they're over there partying, but if they're...
Right.
I mean, because we can't prohibit that. We don't in this pavilion. If someone rents that pavilion, they can bring alcohol in there. Same with our community center.
But we can tell them that they can't smoke marijuana over there, though, right?
Absolutely, because okay. It's against the law. So I think that's what this is... This is saying is you can't smoke cannabis on any city property.
Right. I just misunderstood what he was saying to say right. that no.
And that no, okay. smoking and alcohol is different if you want an ordinance prohibiting that
no,
too.
No, I don't.
I was just wondering why they're not lumped together.
Because cannabis is illegal.
Right.
Prior to cigarettes.
Because of the federal government. But it's not legal in Minnesota.
Right, so we're fine. So I think everybody's on the same page. We're just talking.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying that I'd rather not see cigarettes, alcohol, or tobacco, you know, or marijuana, if that's the way it should be.
Well, that's what she's saying, though. Like, that's part of, like, if somebody's renting out one of the pavilions, alcohol, they're allowed to have alcohol there.
But not marijuana, even right. though it's legal.
So right now it's legal until we make an ordinance, until we pass an ordinance.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about, passing an ordinance for
cannabis. And I guess I wonder why it's treated differently. It's something new, but why is it treated differently than alcohol? I've seen a lot of foolish things happen with alcohol.
Oh.
I grew up witnessing a lot of foolish things from alcohol, but it was legal, so it's all right. Now cannabis is legal. And the people that I see using cannabis usually aren't as foolish as the people with alcohol.
Right, Diana?
Coming from my perspective at the bar, I personally don't want to see them smoking at the bar because then you're combining two controlled substances together, and then if they drive away and get in a wreck, then we're double.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I understand. No, I understand that. You drink a six-pack and smoke a joint, you're turbocharged.
Right. Yeah. So
you're from zero to zero in no time.
So I really don't want to.
But I'm just, no, I'm just wondering why we're treating these things different.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't think we should have cannabis in the park or anywhere else where there's children. But now in an adult establishment, that kind of changes somewhat. But I do understand, and I have thought your point there too, that by combining them, you're just really creating a problem. But I just want this, my opinion, you know, is it's something new. I don't think we should allow it, but I think we ought to look at is alcohol and tobacco now too. Because that's something we've all grown up with. This is something new, and I hate to say it, but our grandchildren are now going to grow up with this in a legal sense like we did with alcohol.
I think it'll weed itself out as you go along here. It's going to, people are going to make rules just like alcohol.
Absolutely.
The rules weren't always what they are now. They
the
started out, you know,
alcohol
things came.
Was once, you know.
I'm on the thing of, so I didn't have much of a chance to study this or go through this. I'd like to have a, you know, bring it back next month. And I think maybe have some plans in a, that we're going to go forward with. And I think we should work with Diana too, because her and her staff are the ones that are going to have to deal with it over there.
So in the meantime, what are we supposed to do?
They can't smoke inside because of the Clean Air Act.
No, I'm talking about outside. I know they can't smoke inside.
That's vape. I mean, even if it looks like a vape.
I'm talking about outside.
We discussed that, though. She was going to take care of that.
That has to stop.
You know,
yes. That was discussed at our meeting yesterday.
Yeah, and I've seen that, and that's not great. So, I mean, we've got a cut and dry it here.
Comment?
Well, I was going to say, how do you know if they're smoking cannabis? If they're vaping, you can't tell it's cannabis.
You can't smell it, can you?
No.
Not the vaping, but, I mean, I think
but it would they be... got CBD in there. Vape, you can't smell it.
Well, CBD isn't, I don't think that's
well,
the issue.
THC, yeah.
I would say, I guess if the staff member could ask, you know, I hope that's not THC because that's not allowed here. You know, once we get the ordinance and pass it, apparently we're all in agreement.
Diana, how will you enforce this? If somebody's smoking outside, are you going to call the sheriff?
That's just it. I mean, that's what I'm asking. How do you want us to handle this?
I mean, whether we've got something in place or not, you know what's going to happen.
Definitely.
It always has.
Yeah.
But are we, I mean, I guess I'm asking, are we going to enforce this?
I guess I when you know, if somebody was smoking in the bar or, you know, that I would ask them to leave and if they didn't, then yes, then you would call.
Absolutely.
So it would be the same outside. If I asked them to stop smoking, they don't, then I'd ask them to leave. And if they don't, then I would, then yes, I would call the sheriff's department.
Okay. Post the ordinance.
Is this something that Diana could just post on her own that we don't allow
the
bar manager? We don't allow the use of cannabis on these grounds.
Until we get a set ordinance, but I don't see why you can't post that.
Okay.
Just no, you know, just there's no smoking cannabis here. Just.
I might have rushed that, but sorry. We were kind of going, what are we going to do?
No, it's not rushed. It's legal. Yeah. It's not involved for long. There is a new vape shop coming up at... the old Outing Hardware, the Hazy Bear.
Oh, I saw that name.
They're going to start off now. They'll be open, I think, that is the next week. And they're starting off with vape and other stuff there. And as soon as they can get into cannabis, there'll be a dispensary.
Did you see that old gas station in Crosby that, what's it, Cayuga Cannabis or something?
No,
apparently there's going to be a grower in Crosby, too.
Yes. That's where those two patients,
I heard that.
South across Lake, where Steve Peterson did the...
Polbarn subdivision here.
Right by the daycare.
My God, seriously? No. That was his shop. No, he owned Wes.
all these kids are driving me crazy.
That was good.
Okay, all right. I think we can move on from that.
all need to look at this and come with some plans for next.
Well, what I'm asking is, can I revise? You have three samples there. Justin recommended, out of the ones we had, he recommended the two cities. Then the county came out with theirs. So I will take time and look at them. I'll visit with Justin. We'll come up with a sample.
Sure.
And then get it to you.
Perfect. Sounds good.
That sounds really good.
All right.
And we don't need to vote on that next. She can just approve it, right?
No, it'll come to the council.
It'll come to the council.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We have some CDs that need renewing at Pine River State Bank. They are currently there at a 1.25%, but they are offering 5.01%. But we have a penalty for taking it out.
I spoke with them today, and they will waive the penalty because we're moving our checking accounts over there.
Nice.
So.
Wow.
I just need a motion.
I just need a motion. That's no
problem. I'll make a motion to change the CDs and
just to renew them. They're both at, yep.
At that 5.101%.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second.
Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Tell Katie, thank you. Please.
Yes, with that, okay, looking at your cash control statement, which I don't remember what page it's on, Jess.
Five.
Okay, Capital Fire Equipment Fund, the fourth row down, there's $15,000 in there. Because of Pine River, do you want to throw that in a CD?
Yes, because I think if it makes enough money, even if you have to take it out early and take a penalty.
No, it's not a CD right now. It's just sitting in the checking.
I'm saying in the future, sometimes you've made more even.
I don't know that fire is looking at using that 15. It's been sitting there for a number of years. So.
I think that we should do it.
Okay. So I need a motion for that.
Motion. I'll make a motion to put the 15,000 that's in fire and rescue into CDs.
Second?
I second that.
Vote?
Aye.
Okay. You guys are going to like this. Revision to page 10 of the employee handbooks. We need to add Juneteenth to the handbook.
Why?
Yes.
Hey, high five, right?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Oh,
I know,
well. All right.
I don't mind the audience, the thought behind it.
I know. I'd honestly sooner be at work, but.
I make a motion we accept Juneteenth as a holiday.
I'll second.
Vote. Emily?
Aye.
All
right. Everybody aye?
Aye. Sorry.
Gare? He's thinking, I know.
I'd like to say no, but I
you can.
You can.
No, I'm going to go no. I don't like that. This is a bunch of noise.
I've not heard that word in a long time. Okay. But Eddie's used it all the time.
I had to reach way back for that one. What I really wanted to say was no.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so.
League of Minnesota Cities Clerks Academy, September 14th and 15th in Staples. Anne, you want to fill us in on that, please?
You have the information.
Oh, right there.
Some of it may be a little redundant for me, but my thought was there might be some good stuff, or I want to sit with Jess, and if there's something she'd like to go to, some stuff I go on the other day, or. But I just feel like we shouldn't miss out on this.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So I'd need approval to go to that for the cost, mileage, and.
For you and Jess to go to them?
No.
Just you?
Just me at this point, but I think we'll review it together.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I need a motion.
I make a motion that we send Ann to the Sourcewell Open Meeting Law Data Practices.
League of Minnesota Cities and Clerks Academy.
Where's your agenda?
But I also agree with that.
It's the name of those cities clerks and right there.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah, we'll still up that one.
League of Minnesota Clerks Academy, September 14th and 15th.
So I'll second that.
Food mileage and hotel.
Any other discussion? Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Then, just an FYI for you, I'm going to attend. They're free for me to go to October 11th, December 13th, and April 17th. Region 5 meetings. That's what I went to 2 weeks ago. It was very nice. So.
Do you have to approve them because it would be off on those days, or you're just telling us to let us know that it's coming?
I mean, it's up to you if you want a motion.
I mean, I'm fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure, because I forgot to tell you before.
Searchville is also offering again, and I went to the last one in Cross Lake, but they're offering an open meeting law. It's a little seminar that they put on. It's very informative. This one's in Hemp Street in Staples on September 14th. And we're thinking about sending Jess so she can catch up on the open meeting law. Anybody else, Randy, maybe you interested since you're new and you haven't been, or anybody else that hasn't been to an open meeting law seminar by Searchville? They do a really good job covering it.
They do.
And it's free, is it not?
Keep it in mind. Yes, it is.
That's on Thursday?
Yes.
I make a motion we send anybody who's interested to go to the open meeting law and data practices. We'll pay mileage.
I'll second that.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah,
what time it is?
It's from 9 to noon.
I think it's in the information here. 9 to noon.
I would highly encourage it if you can go.
I haven't been one, so.
Anything else on purchasing and personnel? I don't have anything. Unfinished business.
I was waiting for us for something, but
I do want to talk to you about something.
Make a motion to close the meeting.
Second.
Vote.
Aye. Aye.